Welcome to week three of our Stranger Things series. And we're using the storyline behind the Netflix original TV show Stranger Things. We're taking part of the storyline there and we're using it as a springboard to talk about some spiritual truths that hopefully are life-changing. And basically the storyline is this. There's a small town and the residents of that town are trying to figure out, they're trying to discover who or what is behind some recent abductions. And specifically, there was a middle school age boy named Will who was abducted. And they're trying to figure this out, trying to come to grips with it, and they discover in the process this unseen world that kind of parallels their visible physical world. And eventually, they realize that there is a monster inside of this unseen world that is coming out and is stealing, is killing, and is eating all the residents of the town. Spoiler alert, okay, in case you're planning on watching the show, go ahead and close your ears because I'm about to give you the kind of the bottom line of what's going on. Will, the middle school age boy, he's abducted, and you know, the town thinks he just died, you know, and so they're having a funeral for him, all this kind of stuff, but his mom believes that he's somewhere else. And what we realize or come to find out is that he was taken to this unseen world, and he manages to escape from the monster. And he is hiding inside of this unseen world and continues to try to make contact with his mom or somebody to come and rescue him. And so his mom, along with the sheriff of the town, go about trying to rescue him. They find a way into this unseen world. Sure enough, they find Will. They rescue him, bring him home to safety. And the show kind of ends with Will being reunited with his mom and his brother, and they're sitting down to have dinner, and they all live happily ever after. Or at least we're led to think that the monster is gone forever. Or is the monster gone forever? You decide. You check out this video.
Hey, no more snooping.
No, I forgot to wash my hands. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Dum, da, dum, dum. The monster lives. Maybe. I don't know. But you know what? What's interesting is that the Bible describes a similar scenario in our lives. The Bible says that there is something that lives within us, that thrives at times within us, that causes us to have all these thoughts and take all these actions. And we can't figure out. I mean, a lot of times we're sitting back going, man, I don't know why I do the things that I do. I don't know why I say the things that I say. I don't know why I think the way that I think. I don't seem to be able to get a handle on it. I can't change. I don't know how to change because there's something. It feels like there's something in me that drives a lot of this stuff. There's something deep down in me that's a part of my life that somehow is driving all of these thoughts. And at times, it feels like a monster. I mean, it feels like this thing that rears up inside of me, and I don't know how to control it. I mean, I've tried to control it at times, and maybe I've been successful in, you know, controlling a little bit here or there, but I'm very unsuccessful at locking this thing down completely. And you know what? I've tried to get help. Maybe someone sent you to get help, but along the way, you feel like you're hurting people. Maybe you've destroyed some relationships. Maybe you've watched people walk out of your life and you sit back and go, what is the deal? I can't figure it out. And the truth is, if we could figure out the problem, maybe we could come to grips with a solution for the problem. And today, hopefully, and this is what I'm asking God to help all of us as we go through and look at this passage today, that God would reveal to our hearts, you know, here's where the issue lies, and here's the solution to this particular issue. And you may not like the diagnosis that the Bible says today, and if you're not really a church person, maybe you just came because, you know, it was raining outside and you thought this was dry inside, so you came here. But maybe you're not that much of a church person. And today you might hear what the Bible has to say, and you might think, well, I don't know about that. That just didn't resonate with me. Okay, just hang on to it, because at some point down the road, you might see it as a possible or plausible solution to the reason of all the destruction that you feel like is taking place in your life, because we all experience that. There's a passage in the book of Romans that I'm going to talk to you from today. It's in the New Testament, and Romans is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, what's interesting about the Apostle Paul is at one point, he was an enemy to Christianity and to the Christian church, persecuting them, and then he had this turning point in his life, and he met Jesus, and Jesus became his Savior. And then he goes on to start all of these churches and to write over half of the New Testament. And most of us would sit back and go, well, the Apostle Paul's got it figured out. If anybody has the Christian life figured out, it's the Apostle Paul. And yet you're going to see some things that he writes today that I think resonates with every person in the room. And here's what he says in Romans chapter 7 is where we're going to be. And here's what the Apostle Paul starts off. And he says this: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, let me start over, okay? Because I can't read. I'm trying to say this stuff from memory and I need to look at it. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. See, regardless of what you believe about the Bible, some of you might sit here and go, I don't even believe the Bible's true. Regardless of what you believe about the Bible, we all can look at this and go, okay, that part's true. That part resonates because we all have been there. The things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. The things that I want to do, I never do. Not consistently anyway. And so Paul is saying, listen, that's part of all of us. There's something in us that drives us in that direction. He keeps going to verse 16. And he says this: and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Now, this could be any law. It could be God's law. It could be the law of the land. It could be your own personal standards. And what he's saying is that if we all are sitting here, and maybe it's the law of the land, maybe it's God's law, maybe it's our personal standards, but we can't live up to those things consistently. I can't consistently drive the speed limit. You can't consistently be the mom and the wife that you want to be. You can't consistently be the kind of employee that you hope to be and give your all or give your best at work. You can't consistently keep your anger or your temper or your mouth under control. All of these things, whatever they are, we can do them occasionally, but we can't do them consistently. And if we look at those things and say, okay, these are things that I really should be doing and I can't do, but I really ought to be able to do these things, and I really should do, then we're agreeing that the law is good. Whatever your law is, it's a good thing. But the fact that we can't do it is what gets after us. But we agree that the law is good. That's what Paul is saying. We can't do it, but we agree that the law is good. He keeps going. Verse 17 says, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And here we go. We've been introduced now to the monster. The monster is sin that lives within me. Now I know we don't really like to talk a lot about sin, but the truth is we all know that we do wrong things. We all know that wrong things are a part of this world, they're part of our relationships, it's a part of our own personal lives. And then the Bible calls those kinds of things sin. But the Apostle Paul goes even further and says this monster lives in us. And so all these struggles that we have, the things that are tempting us, the things that are driving us, our thoughts, all the things that bring about guilt and regret and remorse in our life, the Apostle Paul says, here's what you need to understand. There is something deep within you that's driving all of these things. And you've been trying to figure these things out, and you've been trying to get a handle on these things, and you've never factored into the equation that there may be a monster inside of you. There may be something in you that you just can't get a handle on. You can't just white knuckle. You can't just grab it. There's something driving that. And the Apostle Paul is saying, it's the power of sin that resides in your body. He goes on, he says this, I know that nothing good lives in me. This is the Apostle Paul. Super Christian at this point, writing over half the New Testament. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. Okay, that's a different place. That's a different thing. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Can we all just confess that right now, just all together, that I cannot carry it out? Can we just say it together? I cannot carry it out. Doesn't it feel good to get that off your chest? It's good therapy in here this morning, right? It's true. We sit back and we look at all these things and we go, you know, I know it's right. I want to do it. I can occasionally do it. I can't consistently do it. I can't carry these things out. He keeps going. He says this. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Again, isn't that true? It's like we said a moment ago. Regardless of what you believe about the Bible, whether you think it's all true or not, we can all agree that this part's true. We can all agree that this part is relevant to who we are as people. That, man, every time we want to do something right, and we know the good that we ought to be doing, we cannot carry it out. And every time we try to do it, every time we think about doing it, and then all the things that we don't want to do, and we have that list too, right? I don't want to do this, can't do this, got to get a hold of this. All of those things we don't want to do, those are the things we keep doing. And that seems to be the most consistent part of our lives, not doing the right thing, but the things that we don't want to do. And we can't carry it out consistently. He goes on. He says, for what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now. And it's almost like an aha moment, okay? Now. If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, let me clarify, okay? Because I don't want some of you guys going home today and just, you know, getting upset about something, going off on your wife and kids, and then going, well, it was sin that made me do it. It wasn't me. You teenagers, you know, sneak out, you get caught again. I didn't want to. It was sin that made me do it. It wasn't me. I didn't want to. No, no. Paul is not saying, listen, you do whatever you want to do and just blame it on sin. Sin made me do it. I didn't have any control. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is that it would help us to begin viewing this sin, this thing of sin, as a separate entity, as something that is constantly coming against us. It is not about, you know, trying harder or being more disciplined or maybe joining the right group or support group or whatever. No, no, no. There is a thing. There is a monster called sin that continues to come against us, continue to drive us in a certain direction. And we have to find a way to figure out this monster. How can we ever get control? How can we ever get better? If this thing is constantly coming against me, what can I do? And see, the reality is, even for us as Christ followers, if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, listen, we're not immune to this whole thing of sin coming against us. Well, if giving our life to Christ all of a sudden made us to where we didn't have to worry about sinning anymore, then that'd be awesome, right? I mean, sign all of us up for that. But there's nothing in God's Word that ever says that. And as Christ followers, if we don't understand this whole body of sin that comes against us, this sinful part, this sinful nature that we have to deal with, if we don't ever get a grip on that, and we never see what God has provided for us and the full potential that we have in Christ, then we will always live a defeated Christian life. We'll never feel like that we're getting victory in that area of our life, because we'll always be going down the wrong road. He keeps going in verse 21. He says, so I find this law, and that word law is, it could be power, this power at work in me. when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Every time I want to do good, guess what? Here's my buddy. He's right there with me. He's always around hanging out. You know, it's like on Monsters, Inc. I'm always watching. I mean, it's right there, right? It's always hanging there. He keeps going. It says this, verse 22 and 23. For in my inner being, okay, and this is something important. As Christ followers, there are different components of our lives, and different components of our life as people. It doesn't matter if you're a Christ follower or not. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And we have a body, it's this fleshly body that we have on the outside, and then we have this soul, and the soul makes up our mind, our emotions, our will, and then we have a spirit. And the spirit is what gets regenerated. It's what, when we give our lives to Christ, it's that spirit that God, God's spirit comes to live within and change our life from within. And when we die as Christ followers, it's that spirit that goes on to be with Christ in heaven. And so it's the part that's regenerated. And so that inner self, that inner being, is constantly trying to get the rest of the body to go to work and do the right thing. And so he's saying, in my inner being, in my spirit, the part that Christ has changed, I delight in God's law. But I see another law or another power at work in the members of my body. That's in the rest of me. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law or the power of sin at work within my members. He's like, I'm always battling. This inner part of me, man, it loves the Lord. If you're Christ follower, it loves the Lord. It's been regenerated. God has saved me. It's awesome. I have a relationship with Christ. It's awesome. But it constantly seems like it's fighting against the other parts of my soul and my body that are trying to, you know, take me down the wrong road, that are trying to cause me to go in different directions. And it seems like there's a constant battle going on between my spirit and my soul and my body. And here's the deal. Every one of us, and you pick it, it could be food, it could be alcohol, it could be sex, it could be the way you spend your money, it could be your temper, it could be the things you say, the way you it could be any number of things or one or two of those things. You pick it, we all have them. And you sit back and you go, I understand that. I understand that because that temptation, whatever that thing is constantly pulling, it's constantly drawing. And that's the part that I don't ever feel like I get victory over. Now, I'm doing good in these other areas, but man, it's one or two areas over here. Those are the ones that are constantly waging war on my spirit. He keeps going. He says this. What a wretched man I am. See, this is the part where Paul, I believe, identifies with every one of us. See, you don't say what a wretched man I am because I keep forgetting to take the trash out. Oh, I forgot the trash again. What a wretched man I am, right? You don't say what a wretched lady I am because I was late picking the kids up from school. You don't say that. No, no, no. What Paul is saying is that there's parts of our lives that are so ugly, the sin in our life that is so ugly, that at times when it gets the better of us, man, we sit back and we go, am I sick or what? That's kind of the modern language. Paul is saying, am I sick or what? I'm telling you all of these things. I'm starting churches. I'm writing half the New Testament. I'm doing all of these things, and yet there's a battle that's being waged, and at times it's so ugly and it's so difficult that it causes me to sit back and go, what a wretched man. Am I sick or what? And see, a lot of us, we get there, right? Man, do I need a support group? Who do I need? Do I need to go see somebody? Dr. Phil, Oprah, Dr. Laura, whoever, just give me somebody, because I can't get a hold of this thing in me. What a wretched, wretched person I am. Now, here's the good news. God never intended the Christian life to be that. God never intended the Christian life to be this whole, you know, to-do list thing. And if I get all of them done, then I'm good. If I don't do some of them, I'm not good. And then I got the bad list over here. If I ever dip into those, oh, man, it's really, really bad. That's not the Christian life. God never intended the Christian life to be that. And he never intended for us as Christ followers to fight that battle alone. That was never God's plan. God has given us the resources to fight, to wage this war, to fight against this monster that lives within us. And here's what he says. Verse 24, he says, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, what's interesting about that term, body of death, during this time where the Romans were in charge, the Romans had different ways of punishing people for different crimes. And specifically on the crime of murder, many times they would take the person that was murdered and they would attach them to the person that murdered them. And you had to carry this corpse around with you for the rest of your life. That's a pretty severe punishment. Can you imagine carrying a dead corpse around with you for the rest of your life? Always there with you every time you turn around. Well, see, what Paul is comparing it to is this body of sin, this capacity of sin that we have, this monster of sin that goes along with us, that is always there, and at times the heaviness of it, the ugliness of it, just weights us down. And I want to try to illustrate that for you a little bit. I'm going to bring out my trusty assistant here. This is my son, Landon. Give it up for Landon. But today he is playing the part of my ugly alter ego. And I want you just to imagine if Landon and I, or ugly Scott, were handcuffed to everywhere I went. He's right there with me. Oh, there he is again. You know, it's everywhere. And Paul says, "What can I do about it? What group can I join? What support is there? What podcast can I listen to? What blog can I read? What?" Not, he didn't say anything about a what. He says, "Who? Who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And what's so interesting about that word deliver, it's the same word that can be used for rescue. He's saying there's someone, not a thing, not an event, not a book, not a podcast. There's someone that can rescue you from this body of death that you carry around with you, that is constantly waging war against you. Now guess what? This Scott, he ain't ever going anywhere. Not until I die. He's going to be right there with me, always around. But I can lessen the impact. I can make him not seem as visible based on the who that will rescue me. And what Paul says is that he's going to go on. Verse 25, here's what he says. "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." He's saying it's a who, and he delivers. And you know why? Because he's in the business of rescuing. He's in the business of delivering. That's what he does best. You read through the scriptures, everywhere through the scripture. You see prostitutes being delivered, being rescued by Jesus. You see people in the pig pen of sin being rescued by Jesus. You see people that are trapped in religion being rescued by Jesus. You see people who lost all hope who are being rescued by Jesus. That is what he does. That's what he does best. And he comes in and he unlocks the grip that this sin, this monster of sin has on us. That as Christ followers, it's not that this thing goes away, it's there, but it doesn't carry the same power and authority in our life. See, as for those of us who are Christ followers, When Jesus delivered, when he rescued, he delivered us from the penalty of sin, which means that when we die, we're no longer accountable for the sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin, and that way we get to go to heaven when we die. His sacrifice on the cross paid for our sins. So we've been delivered from the penalty of sin, but what we forget and what we don't live in is the fact that we've also been delivered from the power of sin. That in Christ, we have the ability to say no to sin. That we don't always have to go, oh, here it comes again. Okay, here I go. No. Now, the reason we don't, I'm telling you this and you're going, well, it must be something you preachers can do because I don't feel like I have any power. Especially when these things come up, these one or two things come up, I don't feel like I have any power. And the reason we don't feel that way is because we've so identified with that part of who we are that we can't see it as anything separate, that we're anything separate from that. We can't see the power that Christ has given us to say no, because all I know is this dude. And all I know is when this dude starts going that way, I guess I got to go with him. Because I'm so identified with him that I don't see the power that I have in Christ. Okay, alter ego, you can go. Appreciate you. One of the traps that we get in, especially as believers, is this sin, this body of sin that still resides within us in our flesh. It convinces, it deceives and convinces us that it's us against God. You see, because we start going, you know, I really would like to go over there and do that, but God doesn't want me to. Well, it does look fun, though. I really would. Okay, I know God doesn't want me to. And so here's what sin begins to do. It begins to deceive us that, no. It's the two of us, and God's the one that's trying to keep you from having fun. God's the one that's trying to destroy your life. God's the one that's keeping you away. And we get so deceived by this. And here's what we got to understand. It is not us against God. It is you and God against sin. We can no longer allow sin to keep deceiving us to go, yeah, it's us over here and God's over there and God doesn't want you to. It's us against God. No. We've got to start identifying with who Christ has created us to be and the power and the freedom that we have in him. And when sin comes along, to see that it's this separate monster entity in our lives that is constantly trying to drag us to places that we know this, that if we follow after this thing that we so want to do, we can't wait to do, it's going to be so much fun. We know, because we've lived long enough, be it a day, a week, a year later, we'll stand back and say, it's the worst thing I ever did. There's so much regret, so much remorse. I wish I had never made that choice. Paul say, well, which is it? Are you schizophrenic? I mean, what's going on? Because you desperately wanted to. In fact, God was keeping you from it. And now you're over here going, I wish I had never. He says, no. It's not that. It's that we identify so much with this sin part of us that we think God is against us, and it's not. God is over here saying, I've got the best life for you. Man, I've got a life filled with hope and peace and mercy and grace and love. I have an abundant life for you to live. But you have to identify with me. You have to recognize the power that already rests within you. That in Christ, you have been set free. You just need to live like it. As Christ followers, we're not bound up by this sin. We're not wrapped up by this sin. We've been set free. We just have to live like we've been set free. I want to give you a couple of freedom tips, okay? A couple of freedom tips. How can you live like you've been set free? Number one, view sin as a monster and run from him. We have to start seeing sin as this separate entity. Not just this kind of ambiguous thing that's out there, but a separate entity, a monster that lives within, that desperately wants to drag us away, desperately wants to steal and kill and destroy every part of our life. And so we have to see this as a monster and run from it. You know, as a kid, I don't know why this was. When I was a kid, I used to watch these movies about the mummy. Ever used to watch the old movies about the mummy? You know, and the mummy, you know, just walking after people, and I guess kills them and stuff. And I used to be terrified of the mummy. I mean, I was so scared of the, you know, and all the cloth or whatever. I was so scared. And I don't know if it was a God thing. I don't know. But something happened one day, and the realization came upon me that the mummy's slow. If you get caught and killed by the mummy, you deserve to die. You know what I'm saying? The mummy's slow. And so that helped me as a kid, right? I can outrun the mummy. Here's the problem, though, with this monster of sin. This monster of sin is got his arm around and saying, hey, you know, we're just going to have some fun. And listen. Anytime you get ready to leave, you know you're faster. You know you're smarter. You're slicker. You're more creative. You're more clever. You can run anytime you want. We're just hanging out. And we get used to it. And we're like, yeah, I could leave this anytime I want. I can stop anytime I want. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Mummy's slow. I can outrun the mummy. Yeah, we no big deal. And we get caught up, don't we? And we realize this monster has us wrapped up in a way that is causing nothing but pain and heartache and guilt and remorse and regret in our life. And we have to see this monster of sin as a separate thing that wants to do us harm and run the opposite direction. This monster wants to take my eyes and use them. I'm not going to let him take my eyes. This monster wants to use my mouth, take my mouth and use it. I'm not going to let him take my mouth. This monster wants my brain, wants my mind. I'm not going to let it take my mind and use it. I'm not going to allow this monster to take me, to use me in whatever way he wants to. We have to view this entity of sin, this monster of sin, as a separate thing, and we have to run from it every time it rears its head. We can't play around with it. And the second freedom tip, to be free, view Jesus as a rescuer and run to him. We have everything that we need in Jesus. He's paid the penalty for our sin, and he's given us the power to live in victory over our sin. And when we start running from the monster, see, if you're sitting here today and you say, I'm not a Christ follower, I'm not really a God person, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of checking things out. But here's the problem. If you run from this monster of sin, by default, you're running to something else, and you need to know what you're running to. We never run away from something without running towards something else. I'm just telling you that Jesus, he's provided everything you need. And I'm telling you, today, he offers hope. He offers rest. He offers peace. He offers victory. All you have to do is run to him and let him rescue you, because that's what he does best. Everything that we need in life to live in victory is found at the cross. It's found in the price that Jesus paid for our lives. In fact, this is what it says in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, For he, being Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his, this is God, transferred the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Every one of us have the opportunity that our sins be forgiven and that freedom restored in our hearts. Because it was all paid for at the cross. See, at the cross, we find freedom. So no longer have to be a slave to sin. No longer have to be led around and changed by sin. But we can say, no, I'm done. And we can walk in a different direction. And that is my hope and prayer for all of us today as we deal with this monster that's always there, that we would have victory today. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would help us today to realize what we have in you. God, that we would realize the price that was paid for our lives, that through your Son, we not only can be released from the penalty of our sin and experience heaven someday, we can be forgiven, our guilt removed, all the regret can be done away with, our shame can be taken care of. And those are incredible things. But God, that also through your Son, you provide us the means to have victory and have power over sin. That we no longer have to live like some kind of slave to sin. But we can walk in freedom. God, I pray that for every one of us today, we would begin to learn what it looks like to identify with who Jesus is in our lives and no longer identify with this monster of sin. And we'd learn more and more of what it looks like to walk with Christ and to walk away from this monster. God, for those who have never opened their heart up to you, have never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that today in this moment, they would simply open their heart and say, I need Jesus as my Savior. Come into my life. Save me. Save me from the penalty of my sin and give me freedom and power over my sin. God, I believe in this moment right now, anyone who opened their heart and prayed those things, you've come in to reside and to be the Lord of their life, and to be their Savior, and to be their rescuer. Help us in this moment to worship and to be grateful for the price that you paid. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.